Have you ever looked at an airplane and thought, that design is brilliant, only to find out later it was hiding something dangerous? I'm Tower, and this is ATs on Radio Hangar. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on some of aviation's most controversial aircraft. The ones that pushed boundaries, but also exposed deadly blind spots the industry was sometimes too slow to fix. Before we get into it, today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. All right, let's talk about aircraft that changed aviation, but not always for the reasons their makers intended. We have to start with the de Havilland Comet, the world's first commercial jet airliner. When it entered service in 1952, it was a revelation: pressurized cabin, smooth and fast at altitude, a quantum leap over the piston airliners of the day. British Overseas Airways Corporation, or BOAC, was flying passengers across the world in a jet, while everyone else was still turning propellers. And then the Comet started falling out of the sky. Three catastrophic in-flight breakups between 1953 and 1954. Comet Golf Alpha Lima Yankee Papa off the coast of Elba, Comet Golf Alpha Lima Yankee Uniform near Naples. The wreckage sank into the Mediterranean, the fleet was grounded, and here's what you need to know. The investigation that followed was groundbreaking. They literally pressurized a fuselage in a water tank, cycling it over and over until it cracked. What they found was metal fatigue around the square windows, the stress concentrated at those corners during repeated pressurization cycles until the skin simply gave way. The Comet disaster is the reason every jet you fly in today has rounded windows. That lesson was written in aluminum and lives. De Havilland redesigned the aircraft, but the damage was done. Boeing swept in with the 707 and took the commercial jet market. The Comet's legacy is a cautionary tale about how even revolutionary engineering can miss something fundamental when you're building something nobody has built before. Now let's move to an aircraft that's far more recent and far more painful for the industry. The Boeing 737 MAX 8. You know the names? Lion Air Flight 610 in October 2018. Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 in March 2019. 346 people lost between the two crashes, both caused by a system called the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System, or MCAS. The headline doesn't tell the whole story on this one. MCAS was designed to address a handling characteristic introduced by the MAX's larger repositioned engines. Those bigger CFM LEAP engines were mounted further forward and higher on the wing, which changed the airplane's pitch behavior at high angles of attack. MCAS was supposed to automatically push the nose down to make the MAX feel like earlier 737 variants, so airlines wouldn't need extensive pilot retraining. The problem was layered. MCAS relied on a single angle of attack sensor. If that sensor failed, and it did, the system could push the nose down repeatedly with enormous authority. Pilots weren't adequately trained on the system. Many didn't even know it existed. The flight manual references were minimal, and the regulatory process that certified the airplane had Boeing employees effectively overseeing their own work under the Federal Aviation Administration's Organization Athigation Work. Congressional investigations revealed internal communications where Boeing employees expressed concerns that were never adequately addressed. The fallout reshaped how the FAA certifies aircraft, how manufacturers disclose safety-critical systems, and how the industry thinks about automation transparency. This affects you if you fly anything with automation you haven't fully explored. Even in general aviation, understanding every system in your cockpit, what it does when it activates, and how to override it, that's not optional. The MAX tragedy reinforced a principle that should be tattooed on every pilot's brain. You are the final authority for the operation of that aircraft. Let's go back in time to another aircraft that earned its controversy the hard way, the Douglas DC-10. This was a wide-body trijet that entered service in 1971, and for a while it seemed like the airplane couldn't stay out of the accident reports. American Airlines Flight 191 out of Chicago O'Hare in 1979. The left engine and pylon separated during takeoff rotation, severed hydraulic lines, and the leading edge slats retracted asymmetrically. The crew had no way to know what had happened. 271 people lost. It remains the deadliest aviation accident on American soil, but the DC-10's problem started earlier. Turkish Airlines Flight 981 in 1974, a cargo door blew out over France because of a known design defect in the door latch mechanism. The floor collapsed, severing flight control cables. 346 fatalities. And here's what makes this one especially bitter. A nearly identical cargo door failure had occurred 2 years earlier on an American Airlines DC-10 over Windsor, Ontario. The crew managed to land that one. The problem was identified. A fix was recommended, but the implementation was left to a gentleman's agreement between the FAA and the manufacturer rather than a binding airworthiness directive. The fix wasn't fully implemented, and people died because of it. The DC-10 was eventually grounded by the FAA after the Chicago crash. The first time a type certificate had been suspended for an airliner. The aircraft was redesigned, improved, and went on to serve for decades, including as the KC-10 tanker for the Air Force. But its early history is a case study in what happens when known problems are treated as acceptable risks. Now the Concorde. Arguably the most beautiful aircraft ever built. Mach 2, 60,000 feet. London to New York in 3.5 hours. A joint project between the British Aircraft Corporation and Aerospatiale that represented the absolute pinnacle of supersonic transport engineering. And it flew safely for 27 years. That part gets lost sometimes. Air France Flight 4593 crashed on July 25th, 2000 during takeoff from Paris, Charles de Gaulle. A titanium strip that had fallen from a Continental Airlines DC-10, there's that airplane again, was lying on the runway. The Concorde ran over it, the strip cut a tire, and debris punctured a fuel tank. The resulting fire led to engine failures and loss of control. 113 people died. The Concorde was grounded, modified, returned to service briefly, and then retired in 2003. The economics had never really worked. Only 20 were built. The sonic boom restricted it to overwater routes. It burned fuel at a rate that made accountants weep, but the crash gave airlines and manufacturers the final reason to pull the plug on a program that was already financially unsustainable. What makes the Concorde controversial isn't the aircraft itself. It's the question of whether supersonic passenger travel was abandoned too soon. Companies like Boom Supersonic are trying to answer that question right now with the Overture program. Whether they succeed will depend on solving the same problems that haunted Concorde. Fuel efficiency, sonic boom mitigation, and route economics. Let's round this out with one more. The McDonnell Douglas MD-11. It evolved from the DC-10, and it inherited some of that airplane's reputation, along with its own handling characteristics that kept test pilots and line crews busy. The MD-11 had a tendency toward longitudinal instability and was involved in several notable accidents where crews struggled with pitch control, including Swissair Flight 111 in 1998, which crashed into the Atlantic off Nova Scotia after an in-flight fire in the cockpit ceiling. 229 people lost. The investigation revealed issues with flammable insulation material in the aircraft's structure, leading to industry-wide changes in material standards. The MD-11 was pulled from passenger service relatively quickly, but it found a second life as a freighter. FedEx and UPS operated them for years. The airframe was capable, but its passenger career was cut short by a combination of handling concerns, fuel efficiency, and the shadow of its predecessor. So what ties all of these together? Every one of these aircraft represented a genuine engineering achievement. The Comet pioneered jet travel. The DC-10 made wide-body flight accessible. The Concorde broke the sound barrier for paying passengers. The 737 MAX was supposed to be an efficient evolution of the most successful airliner in history. But in every case, something was missed, ignored, or inadequately addressed. A design assumption that didn't hold up, a known defect that wasn't fixed with enough urgency, a safety system that wasn't transparent to the people who needed to manage it. The aviation industry learns from these tragedies. That's one of its greatest strengths. The accident investigation process, led by agencies like the National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, and equivalent bodies worldwide, has made commercial aviation extraordinarily safe by any statistical measure. But each of these stories is a reminder that safety is not a permanent state. It's a practice. It requires vigilance, transparency, and the willingness to ground an airplane when something isn't right, even when the financial pressure says otherwise. And for those of us flying general aviation, the principles are the same. Know your aircraft, understand its systems. Don't assume a known issue will fix itself, and never let schedule pressure override your judgment. Sources for today's segment came from Simple Flying, along with historical reporting from the NTSB, the FAA, and several aviation safety archives. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower, fly informed and fly safe.